Let's turn to Ephesians 2, verse 14. And it says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile from both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enemy. And he came to preach peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Well, in this time of year, of course, a lot of people we're getting in the Christmas season, getting in the Christmas spirit. And what we do in this kind of year, we have traditions. We put up decorations. Of course, we've got some decorations we've got going up now. And a lot of people put up Christmas trees and things like that as we kind of get in the season, the Christmas spirit. I don't know if you know my family, but my family really takes it to the ump degree. Like if you've been out to Nicholsville, like we started something and it just went crazy. I mean, there's just lights everywhere. My grandpa started a few years back when I was younger. He started making stuff out of plywood and putting it in the yard, painting stuff. There's like snowman with our names on it. And we just went crazy with the Christmas lights. I mean, the charter buses come out of the middle of nowhere just to come see these lights. And we have trees. I got 7 or 8 trees in our house, different themed trees, all this stuff. And we just go to town with Christmas stuff. I mean, that's just our thing. I mean, Thanksgiving is kind of like the prelude to Christmas for us. But one thing that we all had in our yard is something called a nativity scene. Anybody, you know what that is? The nativity scene. It's got Mary, Joseph, the little baby Jesus, got the sheep and stuff like that. And there's nothing more peaceful about just looking at that nativity scene. I mean, I remember one year we woke up and we had this massive windstorm and baby Jesus was gone and the sheep were gone. And we had to go on like on the search and rescue mission to find baby Jesus. And he was like across the road in the woods and we tied him down to make sure he would not blow away again. But there's something peaceful about just nativity scenes. And we sing songs like Silent Night, All is Calm, All is Bright, Round Yon Virgin, Mother and Child, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And when you think about that, you think about that night. Do you really think, was there really this heavenly peace going on at the moment? I mean, just because Mary, she gave birth to Jesus. She's riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And when they get there, all the hotels are booked. They're alone. They're isolated. They're away from their family, everything that they've always known. There's a lot of uncertainty about their future. When you think about it, was this really this beautiful angelic peace that was going on at that moment? For all we know, baby Jesus could have been crying all night long. I mean, we just had a baby, and I can tell you right now, I love my children, my babies, but babies crying all night long is not very peaceful. You're doing everything you can to make them go to sleep. It's like, I got to feed you, I got to rock you. We don't really know all the details of what was going on in that moment. They were away from their family. There's a lot of uncertainty about the future. But we do know that night that God made a promise. And he said, glory to God on the highest, peace on earth among men whom his favor rests. There was something about that night, something about that moment that baby is going to grow up to do, that he's going to change the course of history forever, that he was going to come in the flesh and tear down the works of the enemy and bring forth peace, being our peacemaker. There was something about him. He was going to do a promise that God had given that night. And about the Christmas story, the Christmas message is that Jesus brings us peace. He brings us peace. This was prophesied 700 years before the angels made that announcement to the shepherds that night. And we see the prophecy in Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. This is what it is saying, "For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given unto us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace." No end. The Prince of Peace. There was an announcement that was made that night that this baby is going to be like no other baby that's ever been born. He's Christ the Lord, and he's going to return to the people peace with God. And it's all coming back in the person of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but heaven is still making the announcement of peace today. Yes. It is still making the announcement of peace, still saying glory to God on the highest and on earth peace among men whom his favor rests. God is still in the business of offering peace today, still giving peace. There is still announcement of peace today. That God wants you to know his peace, to live in his peace, to experience his peace, to have his peace, and ultimately for us to be agents of his peace. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is the DNA of the kingdom is peace. And God is still making the announcement in the absence of peace. There is still the possibility of peace today. It is on the table. It is for us to receive, and it's up to us if we grab it or not. Because one of the most difficult things in life is to be alive but not have any peace. To have no peace at all. To be alive and just be existing, making the donuts day in and day out, going through the grind, and every day is just Groundhog Day. Being alive and there's no joy, no life. You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing worse than being alive and having no peace, and being alive and struggling with fear and anxiety and worry and depression, where you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I just can't get up today. Life is painful in the absence of peace. And if you stay in the state of the absent peace too long, you'll get overwhelmed and life will get so chaotic and you'll just say, I just can't do this anymore. You start talking to yourself, if I got to deal with this one more time. But I'm telling you today, you don't have to leave here without experiencing his peace today. Because peace is not just a concept, it's not just an idea, but it's found in the person of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace is here this morning. You can leave forever changed because he's living, he's alive, and he is present today. You can experience his peace that surpasses all understanding, beyond all human comprehension, that you cannot explain. It is available today. Heaven is still making the announcement of peace today. You can have it. That is God's will, his intention, his desire for you to know and experience and have his peace. Write that on the tablet of your heart this morning. Solidify that in your heart. That is his desire and intent for your life, that you would know his peace and experience his peace and live in his peace. Because oftentimes we say, you know what? Well, when life just gets a little bit less more chaotic, then I'll have peace. Or maybe when I make more money, then I'll have more peace. Or when I get the promotion, then I'll have more peace. Or when the kids move out of the house, then I'll have more peace. But God's like saying, you know what? I don't want you to wait for all that to happen, but you can have peace in the middle of all that. You can have peace in the middle of chaos and uncertainty and adversity. You can have peace in the middle of all that. You don't have to wait, but you can experience it right now. You can have peace. And some of us are like, it's just maybe the season that I'm in, the season of life that I'm in, and it's just normal, but it's not normal for a believer not to experience peace. That's God's desire and his will and his intention for our lives. And a lot of us, we're not experiencing heavenly peace. A lot of us, we might toss and turn all night long. Can't find rest, can't find sleep, having fear and anxiety, things that are gripping our hearts. We can't sleep. We're not sleeping in heavenly peace, and we're missing peace in our life, and we're experiencing the exact opposite as fear and worry and anxiety and tension. A lot of us have lost our peace because maybe of relational tension, because of maybe of a relationship with a family member, somebody in your life. Maybe some of us have lost our peace because of financial tensions. The bills are stacking up. Some of us have lost our peace because we're concerned about the future, and peace has just gone out the window. It is missing in our lives, the absence of peace. But this morning, we can take a step of peace and experience it today. And this morning, we've got to move from being just a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word, saying, you know what, I'm going to take charge of the peace quotient of my life. I'm going to experience his peace. But before we take that step, we've got to ask ourselves, what is peace and how do we define peace? How do we define peace? Because peace, we often think of something that's passive. Like it comes and goes. It's here for a moment, and the next moment, it's gone. It's fleeting. I used to think peace is how you define it in the dictionary. It's freedom from disturbance. It's quiet. It's tranquility. You know, like when maybe somebody's getting on your nerves or people's getting on your nerves. Like, I just got to go get some peace. I got to get away. Or maybe your moms are like, I just need some quiet. I need some mom time. I need some peace. Or you get stressed at work or life and school. It's like, man, I just need to go find a place of peace. Peace sometimes in our minds is like I've got to go to the beach or something like that and get my feet in the sand and the water and feel the warm sun on my face and the ocean breeze and listen to the waves. Like, that is peace. But how many know you can go to the most pristine locations? You could spend thousands of dollars to go to a remote island, but still not experience peace. Yeah. It's still absent. It's not there because peace is not an external work. It's an internal work on the inside. You could go to the most pristine locations, but still not experience peace. And until we recognize that true peace is found in Jesus, we'll use temporary escapes to try to satisfy our real need. What is peace? Peace is not the absence of strife and conflict. It's not absolute tranquility. Peace doesn't guarantee you won't have adversity. It doesn't guarantee that you won't have any pressure. Because that's the world's standard of peace. No pressure. But Jesus said in John 16, we all know the scripture. This one I don't like as much. There's some scriptures I'm like, can we just change that one a little bit? He said, in this world, you will have pressure. You will have tribulation. You will have difficulties in this life, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Peace isn't guarantee you won't have adversity or difficulty or loss or heartache or any of those things. It doesn't guarantee any of that. But I like what Bill Johnson says. He says, peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone. That one just really stuck to me. I'm like, that is so good. Peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone. If we can understand that peace is not found in the absence of problems, but it's found in the presence of God. It's found in a person, and it's abiding in his presence and the Spirit of God in my life where I find peace. Because it's world standard, it's absence of strife and conflict and chaos, adversity, no pressure. But if I'm in the kingdom, if I'm in the midst of adversity, trial, difficulty, I can have peace in the midst of all of that. Because peace is found in a person, it's found in Jesus. I can have peace in the middle of a pandemic and the chaos of this world because it's found in a person. And we're not supposed to have just moments of peace, but we're supposed to live in peace. Peace is not a place that we go to, but it's a place where we abide. And that's in Jesus. And you can have peace because you're in him and he's in us. And peace is accessible. We just have to learn how to access it, walk in it, maintain it, and protect it. And some of us this morning, we got to get to know the Prince of Peace. Like, we got to get to know him, invite him in our lives. Because once you get to know him, peace becomes a byproduct. It's not something you try or work at, but it's something that's produced out of the fruit of the Spirit. Once you get to know the Prince of Peace, he comes into your life and he brings peace. The Bible talks about two different kinds of peace. It talks about peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God and the peace of God. And the peace with God has to do with my relationship to God. And the peace of God has to deal with my experiences on an everyday level. And it's out of the capacity of my peace with God that I learn how to live in the peace of God. And if I don't have the peace with God, I can't have and experience the peace of God. And really, peace is the effect, it's the outcome, it's the result of being reconciled to God. That's where peace comes from. So we understand that none of us were born saints. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were all sinners when we were born. You didn't become a sinner when you first lied or when you took money out of the cash register or when you did drugs. That's not when you became a sinner. But the moment you were born, there was a war going on the inside of you. Sin was working on the inside of you. Your parents didn't have to teach you how to misbehave. They didn't teach you how to be deceptive or how to be selfish. What's the first words that come out of a toddler's mouth is mine. Nobody had to teach us to be that way. But it's the result of the natural fallen man. Peace is a result of being reconciled back to God. And sin separated us from God. But Jesus stood in the gap and broke down the wall of separation and reconciled us back to himself. That's what he did. Jesus went to the cross. He was chastised for our peace. He took our wrath, our punishment, our place, what we had coming, and gave us what he had coming. Yeah. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. The wages of sin were death, but Jesus took our place. And we died with him and we rose again with him so we could experience a new life where old things have passed away and all things have become new. Jesus made us his sons and daughters. We now have a seat at the table of heaven. We have the full rights of heaven now. We have an inheritance. It's all because of what Jesus did, nothing that we have done. Peace is a result of being reconciled back to God. Where God says, you're somebody significant. I poured out my love for you. It's nothing you can earn or deserve. And you're prized by heaven. I formed you and made you in your mother's womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I laid my life down for you with this unconditional, everlasting love. And yes, we were enemies of the cross, but God gave us peace through the offering of peace, through the Prince of Peace named Jesus. And I'm thankful that he's given us peace this morning, that he tore down the wall of separation so we could be reconciled back to him and experience peace. If you don't understand that you have peace with God, you'll be constantly at odds with your relationship with God, questioning it, not feeling secure. It's like, does he love me? Does he love me not? Is he for me or is he against me? Are you glad or are you mad today, God? What's your mood today? This is constant. I'm just white-knuckling the pew, hoping that I do enough to make it into heaven. Is my salvation really secure? But when you understand that you have peace with God, you understand your salvation is not just some fragile thing, but it's secure in him. Romans 5 says, now therefore we've been justified by faith. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And peace is a gift that God gives to every man and woman who will make them their Lord and Savior of their life. Peace has a price tag, and it's laying down my life, saying, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. He laid down his. Now all he asked for us is to lay down ours. He wouldn't ask us to do something that he didn't first do. Peace, the Prince of Peace, is extending his hand, his nail-pierced hands. It's a hand of peace, saying, this is where it all begins. It begins right here. The peace with God. Some of us tonight need to experience peace with God in our relationship with him. But there's also something called the peace of God. Peace of God. Some of us might be lacking that this morning. Peace of God. And there's a story in Matthew that could be a reflection and a visual for a lot of our lives this morning. And what's going on in the story is Jesus and the disciples are getting into a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And they're going out in the boat, and all of a sudden, this big storm begins to blow up. It's this massive storm that begins to blow up, and they were not amateur fishermen. They were experienced fishermen. They knew how to navigate storms in their life, but they're panicking. They're terrified. I don't know if you've ever seen videos of these massive boats and the ocean, and there's these giant swells of just water and just overtaking them. It terrified me just watching it. I can't imagine being a part of it, but they're like terrified. In this moment, they go over to Jesus, and Jesus is taking a nap. He's sleeping. It's like, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying out here. And I'm sure Jesus woke up, just began to stretch, you know, a little stretch. It's like, why are you so afraid? Just calmly just rebukes the storm and says, peace, be still. Yeah. What I find interesting is there's two different kinds of storms going on that day. There's a visible storm, the storm on the outside. You see the wind, the rain, and the lightning, and the waves crashing over the boat. But there's also an internal storm going on the inside. A lot of times we can put a front on with people look like we're okay, but there could be a storm brewing on the inside of us of fear, anxiety, and worry that's happening. And it's the internal storm in the disciples that caused them to cry out to Jesus, like, don't you care? We're going to die out here. And some of us, it's the internal storm where we're crying out to God and saying, God, I prayed, I've cried out, I'm waiting, I'm looking, God, are you there? Are you taking a nap in this moment? And there's this absence of peace. There's a storm on the inside of us of fear and anxiety and worry and tension that's brewing on the inside of us, and peace has escaped us. What do you do in those moments? I love what Isaiah 26:3 says. He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. You know, you've got to protect your peace. There's a war going on in your mind every single day. That is where the battle is won and where it is lost. There is a war raging. That is where the battlefield is. That's where the enemy's trying to put anxiety, fear, worry, tension in your mind every single day. And we are wrestling with our thoughts on a daily basis. And that is where the battle for peace begins, is in the mind. He says, if you keep your mind fixed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. I love that promise. I want that promise. I need that promise. that promise of perfect peace. But I don't know about you, but a lot of times I experience maybe more inconsistent peace and imperfect peace than perfect peace. Like I go to God and I pray to God and I give him my burden. And I lay it down at his feet and I feel his presence and his joy. Then 1 hour later, all of a sudden anxiety just hits me again. I'm overwhelmed. It's like, God, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? It's like I got to go back to prayer and pray till peace comes. But there has been times where I've had perfect peace where you can't explain it. It's beyond human comprehension. I don't even know how I got it right now, but I just know it came from Jesus. It's heavenly peace. It's not of this world, and there's nothing like it. Perfect peace. In Isaiah, perfect peace, it comes from the Hebrew word shalom. And it just doesn't mean just peace, but it's a wholeness, a completeness, a fullness of peace. It's a fullness of peace. It's interesting because the Hebrew writers in Isaiah, they say shalom, shalom. They say it twice in that text. Shalom, shalom. It's like God is just saying, you know, I just don't want to give you a portion of peace, but I want to give you an abundant supply of peace, a double portion of peace, more than enough of peace. I don't want to give you just a little bit, but I want to give you so much peace that you're going to be living off it for days and weeks and years, an abundant supply, a never-ending supply of peace in your life. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's not the God of just enough, but he's the God of more than enough. And that's the kind of peace he wants to have in your life, overflowing, abundant supply of peace. Shalom, shalom. Understanding that the battle for peace begins within our mind. There's often this tension of what God says and then what my mind tends to wrongly believe at times. Like it didn't say you'll have perfect peace if you fix your mind on CNN or Fox News. Anybody walk away watching Fox News and you have perfect peace? A lot of times I'm worked up on the inside. I'm like, man, we got to do something now. And I'm just upset. I'm angry. It's like somebody got to turn off the bad news and just get into the good news. My mind's fixed sometimes on the wrong things. Didn't say you'll have perfect peace when you focus on your financial problems or you focus on the future. But when I fix my mind on him, then he'll keep me in perfect peace. That word fix comes from the Hebrew word samek, and it means to lean completely on, to rest oneself fully. So what I do is I lean my mind completely on God, and I rest fully myself in his unfailing promises. And when I do, I'll experience perfect peace. The question is, what's your mind fixed on? Where's your mind fixed at? What's driving your mind? What is your mind focused on? What consumes your mind? For a lot of us, it might be financial worries that consumes our mind, or it might be COVID stuff that's going on. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that's trying to grab our attention right now. So much fear, so much anxiety that's swirling around in our world right now. It might be political division or how bad the world is and maybe what it might become. That might be on your mind. But it says, when I fix my mind on him, he'll keep me in perfect peace if you trust him. The question is, do you trust him? Because sometimes I think I do until I'm in a situation where I've got to trust him. And I thought I trusted you, but I'm not sure at this moment. You've ever been there? Do you trust him? When I fix my mind on him, he'll give me perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. It's a peace that doesn't come from this world, and it's a peace that this world cannot find. I've got to protect my peace. And I do that by fixing my mind on him, and he keeps me in perfect peace. Not only do we need to protect our peace, but our peace will protect us. His peace will protect us. Some of us, we've not been protecting our peace, therefore, we've lost the protection of peace. This is what it says in Philippians 4. It kind of gives us a pathway to peace. Not that we want to sum up a formula and put God in a box, but it kind of gives us rational line of thought of how we can experience peace. In Philippians, it says, do not worry. Instead, pray about everything. Yeah. Tell God what you need. Thank him for everything he's done. And it says, then you'll experience the peace of God. The peace that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It says, do not worry, but pray. In other words, you've got to redirect your energy. You're focused on the wrong thing. He says, don't do this, but instead do this. It is a contrast. Do not worry, but instead pray. Refocus your energy. And if I'm worrying, that's an indicator it's time for me to pray. It's time for me to talk to God. Some of us, we just need to talk to God. We need to pray. We're talking to everybody else, talking to ourselves, but it's like, it's time to refocus and talk to Him. And God wouldn't tell you to do something if he didn't give you the power to do it. It's like, I don't think I can't help but worry, but God says, don't do it. Don't be anxious. He wouldn't tell us to do something if He didn't give us the power to do it. Don't worry, but instead pray. Tell God what you need. You have not because you ask not. And a lot of times we say, well, God already knows what I need, which is true. But a lot of times when we pray, it's not shaping or changing God, but it's changing us and shaping us for the answer. It's not just informing God, but it's conforming us to His image in the process. And it says, thank Him for all He's done. I think 90% of my prayers need to be thanking Him. If I need peace, I just say, God, I just don't need peace, but I thank You for Your peace right now. I thank You, God, for all that You've done and all that You are doing in my life, God. I thank You for who You are, that You're faithful, that You're good. You begin to thank Him, and it says, when you do that, it says, then the peace of God. You'll experience it, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard comes from the word garrison. It gives us this picture of like soldiers who shut the door and say, you can't come in. That's what peace does. It begins to protect you. When the enemy comes and tries to bring anxiety, fear, and worry on your life, it's knocking on the door of your life. Peace shuts the door and says, nope, you can't come in. This person is in perfect peace. You can't come to their mind, affect their emotions. I've shut the door. When the enemy comes to bring those attacks against us, peace protects us. We've got to protect our peace. And not only that, our peace will protect us. Here's Jesus' words in John 14. I like the amplified version of this. John 14, 27, it says this, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I really like how the Bible says, let it. Let it. Well, I want God to do something amazing. You've got to do your part. You've got to let it. You've got to receive it. Let it calm you in every circumstance and give you strength and courage to face every challenge. I've got to do my part where I let peace rule in my heart, where I receive peace. I've got a part to play. And peace is on the table this morning for each and every one of us. And it's found in the person of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And if there's some of us this morning that are lacking peace, say, you know what, I don't have peace. You might need peace with God this morning, or you might have the peace of God that's absent in your life today. I believe God's going to fill your life with peace this morning. Because the Prince of Peace is here. He is alive. He is living. He can give you peace that goes beyond human comprehension, that transcends understanding, that's out of this world because it's not from this world. It comes from heaven. You can experience that kind of peace today. I want to get my mind fixed on Him. There's times I need to go and pray and talk to Him, and when I do, it says peace will come to my life and it'll guard and protect my heart. There might be some things you need to cast and lay down this morning. You need to pray and give it to God, and peace will come into your life.